Joshua 10 is where we are. Let's go to verse number 12. It says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Amen. Stop there. Amen. And let us pray together to the God of our salvation. Father, we are grateful to come before you one more time, to come boldly before the throne of grace, and to ask you, dear God, by faith, to come into the place and to speak a word of life to us.
Yes,
Father. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that your word is the bread of life.
Yes,
feed us now. Nourish us in our spirit. Strengthen us, O God, in our soul.
Yes,
enlighten us, O God, in our hearts, that we may receive from you the truth of your word and truly be made free.
Yes.
Father, we thank you right now for this time of impartation. The young Samuel said, speak, Lord, thy servants heareth. We say the same thing unto you today. Speak, Lord, your servants heareth.
Yes.
And Father God, we thank you for blessing us to hear, to hearken, and to do according to your perfect will. Have your way in the place now as we yield to your authority, to your spirit, and to your word. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our title today, amen, appropriately enough, given some of the things we heard, is praying outside the box. Amen. Praying outside the box. We read three scriptures here, three verses here in Joshua. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 through 14. And the verses tell us about the day when the children of Israel were fighting the Amorites. Mm-hmm. Joshua chapter 10 begins by letting us know that there was a certain king, amen, you go back to verse number 1, the king of Jerusalem. He had heard about how the children of Israel had taken Ai.
Mm-hmm.
And he had heard how they had taken Jericho. And so they were concerned that Gibeon had made a treaty with Israel. And if you remember, the Gibeonites tricked Israel into the treaty. They came with some bread that was moldy, and they put dust on their clothes, and they came with some torn shoes and acted as if they came from a far land.
Mm-hmm.
Because God said you could make a treaty with people from a far land, but those who were in the promised land in the vicinity, you were to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Gibeonites were truly in the vicinity, but they acted as if they came from far.
Yeah.
And they said, we'll be your servants if you make a treaty with us.
Right.
And Joshua and his men, they looked at the bread and they looked at their clothing and at their shoes and figured, hey, they really did come from far. But they didn't inquire of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Gibeonites ended up deceiving them into a treaty.
Mm.
But even though they were deceived, God says, once you commit to a thing, you need to honor the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No matter that you were tricked. And part of the deception and part of the treaty that resulted from it was that Israel guaranteed Gibeon's safety.
Yeah.
So when the king of Jerusalem wanted to come against Gibeon, he went and got four other kings.
Mm-hmm.
So there's five kings of the Amorites, and they wanted to fight against Gibeon. And when Gibeon found out, Gibeon went to Joshua and said, "We have a treaty with you. You have to protect us." And so Joshua came out, and the children of Israel, the mighty men of valor, came out in honor of their treaty, and they fought the five kings of the Amorites on behalf of Gibeon. And the scriptures tell us, amen, that they defeated these Amorites. And God fought with them and for them. In fact, God sent hailstones down on the enemy forces. And the scripture says that there were more enemy forces that were killed by the hailstones of God than by the sword of the Israelites. How many of you know that God will always defeat more of your enemies than you could ever defeat? On your own. Amen. But isn't that a good thing? That you have God fighting for you, and God will fight and take care of your enemies more than you and I can.
Yeah.
Amen. And so Israel went out and fought. And as we pick up in verse number 12, it says that Joshua stood before the people, and he made a prayer unto God. And his prayer was that the sun and the moon would stand still in the sky. Mm-hmm. Amen. And the scripture tells us that's exactly what happened. And if you look at verse number 13, it says that the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Now, a couple of things about the sun standing still. We know that the sun doesn't move across the earth.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Because if you were paying attention in science class when you were in the fifth grade, you know that the earth goes around the sun. The sun's not moving across the earth. Amen. Amen. So when we say the sun stood still, we understand that if anything that happened here, it was the earth that stood still. But we get it, right? The sun was in the same place.
Yeah.
Now, there have been some scholars and some scientists who have attempted to explain away this scripture. Well, the sun didn't really stay still. Well, this didn't literally happen. There have been some who have tried to go back and to find the lost day of Joshua. And there's some who claim who have found the lost day of Joshua. And people have been fighting about this. No, you only found 23 hours and 5 minutes. And then the proponents say, yes, but it said that it stayed down, that the sun stayed down about a whole day. So people fighting and arguing all this. Listen, I'm not getting into that.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
If the Bible says the sun stood still for the whole day, so that Joshua and the children of Israel had daylight to continue to fight and defeat the enemies, that's good enough.
Amen.
Amen. If the scripture says the sun stood still, then the sun stood still. Amen. I don't need to get into the science of it. I don't need to know if the earth stopped moving. I don't need to know if there was some refraction of the sunlight. I don't need to know if there was some eclipse, all these things that people are theorizing. I don't need a theory when I have the word of God. How about you? Amen. If God said the sun stood still, then the sun stood still. And so we understand that scientists, amen, will try to place limits on God. But under no circumstances should we place limits on God.
Yeah.
Amen. If the sun stood still, the sun stood still. We serve the God who parted the Red Sea.
Yeah.
We serve a God who raised the dead. Mm-hmm. Like, we serve a God who gives sight back to the blind, who turns water into wine, and who fed thousands of people with two fish and five loaves of bread. Now, the world may not accept any of those things. That's on them. But don't you know the Bible says, amen, that, that we can only understand the things of God by the Spirit of God. And that the things of a man is understood by the Spirit of a man. The things of God are foolishness to those who don't have the Spirit.
That's true.
They think it's foolish. See, but the only way we can understand and receive this word as truth is because of the Spirit of God that is in us. And the Spirit of God tells me the sun stood still.
Amen.
I don't care what the scientists say. The Spirit of God tells me the sun stood still. We don't place limits on God.
Amen.
And see, that's what Sarah did, if you remember. Sarah, when the three men, and one of them was the incarnate Christ, came visiting Abraham on that hot day, and Abraham said, you know, go, and he hasted, and he and Sarah made food and everything, God spoke and said, "Where's Sarah?" And he's in the tent, and he said, "Well, this time next year, she's gonna have a son." And Sarah laughed. She said, "How am I, as old as I am, and my husband is as old as he is?" He said, "She said, how can we have the pleasure?" There's no artificial insemination, right? How can we have the pleasure of having a child? And so, God is outside the tent, you know, the incarnate Christ outside the tent. He's talking to Abraham, and he said, "Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, 'Can an old woman like me have a baby?'"
Exactly.
And then he said this: "Is anything too hard for the Lord?"
Wow.
See, and that's how we have to have it in our heart and in our mind. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the God that you serve? Think about that the next time the money is low and the bills are due. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Think about that the next time the doctor gives an evil report. Is anything too hard for the Lord?
Yeah.
You've been out of work for such a long time, and it seems like you'll never find another job or a good paying job. But God is saying, is anything too hard for the Lord?
Yeah.
And so when we talk about the sun standing still and people want to debate it, isn't it simply enough to say to them, is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. And so the scriptures say that the sun stood still. But the question we have to answer in our hearts and in our mind is anything too hard for the Lord? Because if we answer that question in its proper place and say nothing is too hard for God, it opens up the door for us to start praying outside the box.
Yes.
Right? It opens us up to get beyond praying with limitations, right? Because if we believe that nothing is too hard for God, then when we find ourselves in even the toughest situation where there seems to be no way out, we can pray by faith, believing that God will do it, is able to do it, because nothing is too hard for the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Let's think about this for a second. Here's the question before us today. Do any of us in here have the audacity to pray like Joshua prayed? I mean, think about the sheer audacity of this prayer. Now, it's interesting. It says here that God was delivering the children of Israel from the Amorites. And on that day, Joshua said in the sight of Israel. And the reason why I like that he said in the sight of Israel is because he stood up in the midst of all the people And he started praying unto God. And he said, God, make the sun stand still.
Yeah.
Make the moon stand still. That's an audacious prayer.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about it most of all. You ever believed something and you were believing it, but you thought it was kind of out there? And so when you prayed about it with yourself, to yourself, by yourself, or you wouldn't pray it with somebody else?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You would think they think you're a little bit crazy and that you're believing on that thing? Here's Joshua praying that the sun will stand still in the sky. And he prayed that out loud in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No shame in his game. No, well, what if God doesn't do it? He had a spirit that said, nothing is too hard for the God I serve. And I am not ashamed to stand in the midst of a whole crowd of people and pray out loud for something that has never happened before in the history of the earth. Do you know how much audacity he had to have in order to pray that?
Yes.
Joshua had the audacity to ask God for something that had never been done before. Think about that. Joshua had the audacity to ask God for something that had never been done before. And we talk about audacity. Audacity is really just having a boldness or a daring that doesn't take into account conventional thought. Doesn't take into account what people always say, tradition, and you know what I'm saying? It goes beyond conventional thinking. Doesn't take that into account, but you still have a boldness. He had the audacity to ask God for something that had never been done before. But here's the question, though. Where does that kind of audacity come from? Now, someone would say, well, Joshua just had faith. But I'd rather give the glory to God.
Amen.
That it was God who put this spirit of audacity into Joshua to prompt him to ask for something that has never been done before.
Yeah.
That the Spirit of God is what prompted him to do that. But I give Joshua some credit because upon receiving this prompting from the Spirit, he had enough faith not to hinder it. And then it gets me to wonder. See, because God prompted this audacious prayer. Joshua had enough faith not to hinder it. But the great news of it all is that God had the power to answer it.
Yes.
But it gets me to wonder, how many times has God prompted me? How many times has God prompted you? How many times has God prompted us to pray something that's outside the box?
Yeah.
To pray something that's never happened before. To pray about something that in our logical mind we can't see happening.
Yeah.
And how many times have we quenched it? Oh, God, if we could be open to him leading us. Sister Fennell was talking about before that sometimes we don't know what to pray. And we know that the scripture said that the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings and utterings and these things, right? Because sometimes we don't know what to pray. I get it. But I will share with you over the past several weeks that there have been times I've been starting to pray. You know, sometimes prayer, I'm just talking to honest Christians here. Prayer can sometimes be repetitive. Right?
Yeah.
Because every day you want to cover your family, and every day you want to cover the people in the church, and every day you want to pray for the president. Somebody need to hear what I said. Every day you want to pray for the president. It says, the scripture says, pray for those who are in authority.
Amen.
So so that you can live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And you got people out there cursing the president.
Amen.
Yeah.
And wondering why chaos reigns.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So you want to pray for the president. You want to pray for the peace of Israel. You want to pray that for the Lord of the harvest. Amen. There's things that we know to pray for, but how many of you know sometimes it can get repetitive?
That's true.
And a few weeks ago, I'm beginning to pray, and I feel like it's kind of repetitive. And I just stopped. And I sensed in my spirit God saying, say this. I mean, actually gave me a sentence. And then another sentence. And then another sentence. And I said, this is good. Because it was new.
Yeah.
And I said, so now I'm going, okay, Lord, what should I pray? Glory to God. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really want to know. Like, tell me what to say. Mm-hmm. Those are God-directed prayers. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I believe when Joshua asked God to keep the sun still in the sky, that had to be because of the boldness of it, the sheer audacity of it. That had to be a God-directed prayer.
Amen.
It was a prayer that put no limitations on God. It asked God to do something that had never been done before. I believe God wants us to pray outside the box.
Yeah.
To not pray with the limitations of the practical and of the logical, but to pray in sheer faith, believing nothing is too hard for God. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you rather go out on a limb with your prayer? Amen. And maybe it doesn't come to it doesn't get answered exactly the way you asked for it to be answered. But isn't that better than staying safe on the shore?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And just praying prayers that go 5 feet in front of your face. I'd rather pray some prayers that go way out there. Amen. And maybe because I'm praying with imperfect understanding, I don't get all the things that I'm praying for out there, but I'll be further out there than if I prayed all conservative and just prayed for the things 5 feet in front of my face. I want to get out the box. And I think God wants us to get out the box, amen, and have the audacity to ask God for things that have never been done before. Mm-hmm. To ask God for things that other people are telling you can't be done.
Yeah.
Amen.
I want to give you two examples. We're just going to look at two examples, then we're going to leave. First is in 2 Kings chapter 13. And in 2 Kings 13, we find King Jehoahaz of Israel. And he went to Elisha. Because, you know, the king of the Israel was being defeated over and over by the Syrians. And so the king Jehoahaz went to Elisha. And it says in verse 14, and Jehoash, and later on you see it says Jehoash. I don't know if you ever read the king. You know how sometimes those names bounce back and forth a little bit. It says in verse 14, and Joash, or Jehoash, the king of Israel, came down unto him, unto Elisha, and wept over his face, and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. So you see, the man of God gave the king a prophecy. Shoot this arrow. And he had his hands on top of his hands and he helped him shoot the arrow out the east window. And the arrow goes forward. And Elisha said, that is God's promise to you that you shall completely destroy the Syrians.
Yeah.
And in verse 18, Elisha then says to the king, take the rest of the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king, smite upon the ground. And he struck the ground thrice or three times and stopped. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, you should have smitten 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Then had thou smitten Syria till thou had consumed it. Whereas now you shall smite Syria only 3 times. So get the picture, right? The king is afraid of the Syrians because they've been repeatedly defeating Israel. He goes to the man of God. The man of God, under the power of the Spirit, says, shoot this arrow out the window and say, you're going to totally consume the Syrians. And then he said, take the rest of the arrows. And in the context of that kind of a promise, he said, now strike the ground. Now, God will tell you, you're going to totally destroy enemies who've been coming in your life and making your life miserable and making your family's life miserable and taking your finances and taking your joy and taking your health and taking your strength. And then he said, now take the arrows, because that's the promise. You're going to defeat those enemies. Now take the rest of the arrows and smite the ground. In the context of that promise, I'd have been hitting the ground. Rah, 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 rah.
Right.
You understand? Because it's all part of what he just promised me. I'm getting rid of my enemies.
Yeah.
You might have had to stop me. Yeah. I've been hitting that ground so much.
Amen.
Yeah. I'll tell you the truth. I went to the gym this week, and we had an exercise I'd never done before, where we took a heavy bag, and we were like sort of squatting like this, and we had to take the bag and slam it into the ground, but put our knee on the ground, slam, and then pick it up and slam. I'll tell you the truth. I was slamming that thing into the ground like I was slamming the devil. That was in my head. And the instructor was like, good job, devil. He didn't know. That's how I was doing it.
Yeah.
And he was like, good job. But in my mind, that's how I was treating it.
Yeah.
I was like, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that in this context, where the king is told that that arrow that went out the window is your total deliverance, now take the rest of the arrows and strike the ground, for him to go and give it back.
Yeah.
That's why the man of God was upset.
Yeah, exactly.
See, because so the man of God was upset. Here he is, had a promise from God and a prompting from God. And yet what he did was he came about it half-heartedly and with weakness. And we have to ask ourselves, how many times does God give us a promise in his word about deliverance, about health, about salvation, about provision, about wisdom? And we pray, but we kind of...
Yeah, exactly.
And the man of God was upset and said, listen, that's not the kind of faith that gets the answers that you need.
Exactly.
He said, okay, you hit the ground 3 times. What did he say to him? You're going to defeat Syria 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at verse 24. It says, so Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. Look at the last sentence. 3 times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. 3 times. Right? It could have been a whole lot more.
Yeah.
It could have been total. But how many of us, amen, we got partial victories in our lives?
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When we could have a whole lot more.
True.
And is it because we're placing God in a box? Is it because we're striking the ground half-heartedly? Mm-hmm. Or with half faith? Half believing, but half doubting. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
See, Joshua had this audacity. God, make that sun stand still in the sky.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. No hesitation, no compromise. Amen. Something that was so outlandish to probably everybody else, but he was asking God in faith. He was praying outside the box.
Yes.
But how many of us stay in the box? In the box of convention, in the box of tradition, in the box of fear, in the box, amen. And instead of striking that ground, we strike it a little bit and we get a little bit of victory.
Yeah.
But how many of us, amen, of denying ourselves the total victory that God wants to give us because we're praying so conservatively and staying inside the box.
Yeah.
I can't ask for that. I'm good. Right? I heard someone say that the most selfish thing somebody can pray is that for their needs to be met. Because see, what you should be praying is that God overflow your cup so that your needs can be met and you can help other people meet their needs.
Yeah.
Amen? But some people praying inside the box, Lord, just meet my needs. I want to bless the whole world. Glory to God. And I might not be here to bless the whole world. I'll probably be able to bless my block. I'll probably be able to bless my family. Amen? But I want to bless the whole world. Lord, overflow my cup.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. I want overflow.
Yes.
Jesus said, I have come that you might have life to the full, to the overflows.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's what it said when he said, you should have life and that more abundantly. He said, I have come that you may have and enjoy life to the full, till it overflows.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Amen. Let's get outside the box. Now let's compare this. And the second place we're turning, amen, is Mark chapter 10. And this is our friend, Blind Bartimaeus. You remember Blind Bartimaeus?
Mm-hmm.
Blind Bartimaeus was the one who was on the side of the road when Jesus came by, in verse number 46. Jesus came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and there's a lot of crowd around, and Blind Bartimaeus is there on the highway side, and he's begging. Mm-hmm. Verse 47 says, when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
And the compassionate church folk that were with Jesus said to Blind Bartimaeus, keep your voice down. Oh, Lord, let that not be us. Amen.
Amen.
People need Jesus. Let us be quick to usher them into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And so there were those there that told him, keep it down, hold your peace. And Blind Bartimaeus cried even more.
Yeah.
Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus still commanded him to be calm. They called the blind man, and now they're on his side. Be of good comfort. Rise, the master calls you. And then it says, he cast away his garments. He rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him a question. What do you want me to do for you? Mm. Oh my goodness.
Mm.
What do you want me to do for you? And Blind Bartimaeus was not staying inside no box.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He already got past all the people telling him to keep it down.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He already, amen, got beyond the fact that he'd been blind all these years. He said, I'm not willing to be blind anymore. And now he gets an audience with Jesus. And Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say on this day if Jesus came into your living room, into your prayer closet, and said to you, what do you want me to do for you?
Wow.
You better think about that question, amen. Because God may be visiting you one of these days soon. And that, what do you want me to do for you? And without any hesitation, Blind Bartimaeus said, he said what? He said, that I might receive my sight. The New Living Translation said that Blind Bartimaeus said, I want to see. Simple, right? What do you want? I want to see. He didn't get all religious. Well, Lord, you know, I'll take anything you bless me with. Because anything that comes from your hand is good. And so I'll be just grateful for whatever. No, he said, I want to see.
Yes. Amen.
And Jesus said, go on. Go your way. Why? He didn't say, because my power made you whole. What did he say? He said, your faith has made you whole. In other words, you have, just like the king who only struck the ground three times, he got three victories. I want to see. You got it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why? Because the question is not about God's ability. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's about, are we going to stay in the box or not? They said, thing about Bartimaeus, of course he wanted to see. That's not praying outside the box. But let's go back to the scripture just for a second, and then we'll leave out of here. Because there is something about blind Bartimaeus to show that he was not staying in the box. First of all, he didn't allow people to tell him to keep it there.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm?
That's right.
He didn't allow people to tell him, you can't have that.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Amen. There are forces in this earth around us. The devil is using all kinds of means and all kinds of people to tell the people of God that you can't have certain things.
Yeah.
The devil is a liar, amen. All he's going to try to tell you is to keep it down.
Yeah.
Keep it down.
Exactly.
So you have to say, I'm not keeping it down. I'm praying outside the box, amen.
Yeah.
I'm praying some outlandish prayers, and I'm not going to keep it down. So that's one indication that blind Bartimaeus was not praying according to a tradition. But here's the other thing, and this is the thing that needs to bless us. When the people finally come unto him because Jesus wanted to see him, they said, be of good comfort. Rise, he called thee. And it said, blind Bartimaeus, and he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. Now, scholars have said this. They said that in biblical times, people who beg had certain garments on to identify them as beggars. And blind people beg. They stood on the side of the road. They begged because they couldn't make a living. They couldn't do certain things. They were in their condition. And so they had on certain garments. And you had on a certain garment that identified you as a beggar. Blind Bartimaeus had on a beggar's garment. He had on a blind man's garment. And notice what happened. Keep it down, blind Bartimaeus. I'm not going to keep it down. Son of David, have mercy on me. Tell blind Bartimaeus to come here. Oh, come on, blind Bartimaeus. He wants to see you. Come on, be of good cheer. The master wants to see you. And blind Bartimaeus didn't even wait to get to Jesus before he took off his blind man garment and said, I don't need this anymore. Before he even got to Jesus, he said, this I don't need anymore. He was already praying outside the box.
Yeah.
He said, but now if I'm going to get into the presence of the Lord, my prayers are answered. I don't need this blind man's cloak anymore. And then when he got up to Jesus, that's why he didn't hesitate. What do you want me to do? I want to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I threw off my blind man's cloak. Do you know blind Bartimaeus in some ways began to see before he even got over there? Because in his mind he was saying, I'm throwing off all the limitations that would keep me from receiving my blessings. How many of us have on blind man coat? How many of us have on these beggar garments, amen? When we're supposed to be clothed in robes of white righteousness and we're walking around with beggar garments on, with blind man coats on. Throw off your garment, amen? Throw off your garment, get outside the box, and declare, I'm not going to take this anymore. Now, someone will say, well, of course he's going to pray for that. You remember that man at the pool of Bethesda? He was paralyzed for 38 years.
Yeah.
And at the pool of Bethesda, they said, every now and then the angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters, trouble the waters, right? And whoever would get into the water first would be healed. And Jesus came up to that man who had been paralyzed for 38 years and said, he asked him straight out, do you want to be healed? And the man said, well, you know, every time I'm here and the angel comes and troubles the waters, everybody gets there before me and I can never get in. Woe is me. I can never get my prayers answered. I'm always here, but nobody here to help me. I'm by myself. And he keep on talking. And Jesus said, take up your bed, boy. He said, man, I'm trying to bless you. And you up here making all these excuses. Take up your bed, boy. And the man took up his bed and walked, right? But look at this. But look what how he was when Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed?
Yeah.
He had all these reasons why he couldn't. He was inside the box. Blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? I want to see.
Amen.
Amen. And that's how we need to be, amen. That we have no limits placed on God. So listen, we need to pray outside the box. I think that's all God is saying unto us today.
Amen.
Let us not, if nothing's too hard for God, don't make your prayer so easy. Amen. Amen. If nothing's too hard for God, why are you praying easy prayers? God, I'm going to test you today. I'm going to be like Steve Harvey. God, I got another good one for you today. I'm going to be like Steve Harvey. Every time I pray, I got another good one for you today, God. Glory to God. Why make it easy? Mm-hmm. Our God wants to show his glory in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. So let's place no limits on God, all right?
Amen.
Let's place no limits on God. The scriptures say we should come boldly before the throne of grace. And if we're going to come boldly, let's pray boldly. Amen? No sense coming boldly and then praying timidly.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Right?
If you're going to come boldly, pray boldly. Amen? If you're going to come boldly, pray some bold prayers outside the box. But I know this never happened to anybody in my family. If I'm praying right now, I can go to medical school.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Come boldly, pray boldly. Amen.
Amen.
And the other thing is, let's get quiet before God and let him start prompting us to pray these God-directed prayers. These prayers that other people think are outlandish, making the sun stand still. Amen.
Amen.
Making the sun stand still. I want you to know that the scriptures say, if you go back to Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 14, it says that there's never been another day like it, where God hearkened to the voice of a man. Now, that doesn't mean that there's never been another day where God listened to the voice of a man. It's that he never had someone pray something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to change that. I want to, oh yeah, Lord? Okay, all right. I'm going to come up with something. Glory to God. Nothing's too hard. Let's not make it too easy. Let's get quiet before God and let him lead us in some prayers, amen. Let him direct us and prompt us. And let us pray with our spiritual mind, not our natural mind. Because our natural mind looks at things all logically, amen. Why it can't happen, why it won't happen. We start talking about whether the thing is probable or factual or logical or rational or practical. Who cares about all that?
Amen.
If it doesn't make sense to your natural mind, so what? Pray with your spiritual mind, amen. The mind that says, I serve the God who parted the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, a whole lot of people, I'll never forget, a lawyer friend of mine years ago asked me, you really believe God parted the Red Sea?
Yeah.
It's in the Bible. God said he parted the Red Sea. Yeah, I believe he parted the Red Sea. But how could he do that? How would I know?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't even know how. I just need to know that he did.
Yeah.
I don't even know how. I don't even know who. Amen. And my God is able to do it. Our God is able to do it. Amen.
Amen.
So let's just come to this with our spiritual mind. Throw out everything else. And let the Spirit of God lead us. And let's get in our prayer closet. And let us allow God to lead us in praying outside the box.
Amen.
Those things that have been with you for a long time, get outside the box and say, today's the day this is going to end. But it's been here for such a long time. I don't care. I'm getting outside the box. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's not put limits on God. He's a limitless God, and he doesn't need us to put him in shackles, especially when we need him so desperately in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God, help us to pray outside the box. Amen.
Amen.
I would love to have been there on that day. When the sun stayed in the same place after someone prayed like that, Woo! That would have changed my life forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Amen. But here's the thing, I can be there in my spiritual eyes, and so can you. God just took us there.
Yeah.
Right? So let's use this as inspiration to pray outside the box for what we need.
Amen.
And what others around us need in their lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's rest on our feet and pray today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you today.
Yes.
Glory to God. We hear your voice just reverberating in our souls.
Yes.
Is anything too hard for the Lord? Glory to God. There is nothing too hard for you, Lord. And so, Father God, we are encouraged by the Spirit of the living God.
Yes.
To pray unto you according to your will. And according to your ability, God, you can do all things. And so, Father God, let us bring unto you all the things that we are faced with.
Yeah.
And Father God, to know that your hand is not waxed short.
Yeah.
You can touch every area of our lives and turn around every curse and make it into a blessing.
Yes, Father.
Father God, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That you are the God who can make the sun stay in its place.
Yes.
You are the God who can raise the dead.
Yes.
You are the God who can perform miracles and wonders that this world has never seen. Holy Spirit, show us how to pray. Lead us how to pray outside of the box.
Yes.
To put no limitations on God, but to release our faith in the name of Jesus. And make our request known unto the God who can do all things.
Yeah.
Father, we ask you to forgive us of all the times, God, that we have sold you short, God.
Yes.
That we haven't fully believed, oh God, in your power and in your love for us to answer our prayers.
Yes.
But Father God, we have heard your voice on today, and it is our desire, oh God, to heed your call and to walk according to your will.
Yes.
And we hear you saying unto us, no limitations. Come boldly, pray boldly.
Yes.
Pray outside. Father, that's what we intend to do. We thank you, God. We thank you right now by faith for the prayers of audacity that we shall offer up and that you shall answer.
Yes.
And we give you the praise and the glory now for the testimony that shall come forth. In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.